Tonight, I'm going to minister along the lines of this message here. Title is, You Are Stronger Than You Think and Braver Than You Feel. Amen? You are stronger than you think and braver than you feel. I'd first like to start with just a little story. And it's something that just recently was happening at my home. My cousin and his wife from Minnesota, they came recently for a visit. And my cousin and I are just 2 weeks apart. We're both July babies. And as a child, my family and I always went back to Minneapolis every summer to visit my dad's relatives. And we spent, I mean, summers back at the lakes. There's so many. I think it's the state of 10,000 lakes or something. We would go to the lakes and, oh, what great memories we had. And so when they were here, I hadn't seen them in about 26 years. And, oh, it was so great catching up and just recalling our adventures as kids at the different places that we went to as children. And, oh, I'm telling you, we had so much fun. Then we did a lot of sightseeing because his wife had never been out here. So we went sightseeing all over Santa Cruz, Carmel, Monterey, San Francisco. I'm telling you, we were on the run. And every night we would come home and return and make dinner and then sit down to watch a movie. Well, do you know how hard it is to find a good movie that everybody is interested in?
Right.
LOL, right? So they asked me, what kind of movies do you like to watch? And I said, well, I like to watch the Great American Family Channel. It's like Hallmark, only it's faith-based. And, you know, my cousin being a guy kind of gave me that look and said, well, do you think there's any adventure movies or action movies that we could watch? And, you know, we kind of laughed. He says, Hallmark's always got the same storyline.
Yeah.
And later on that night, I started thinking about that. I thought, well, why do I like to watch movies with the same storyline? You know, the storyline always starts out with a couple of characters who are typically at odds with one another, you know? And so then after spending time together, they begin to build a relationship, and then they start being connected, and then something goes wrong. It ends, the relationship ends because they see or hear a partial truth from the other person in the storyline. And reconciliation at that point appears impossible. And then finally, the full truth is revealed. And once the full truth is revealed, they come together and they live happily ever after. And that's why I like to watch it. So, but I mean, really, have you ever noticed that life really just is not a straight line? You know, it's always has curves and bends and turns. And those curves and bends and turns are places you didn't expect, you didn't plan for, and they sometimes knock the breath out of you. And you have to take a minute to catch your breath and let the Spirit of God breathe back into you His life. And then you stand back up on your faith feet. Amen. Those kind of places require you to walk by faith and not by sight. Perhaps it's a bad report from a doctor or a business or job related pressure or a relationship that suddenly ends. Maybe an unexpected financial situation that rises up. We've all had those. And it feels and appears to be impossible to recover from. Well, unlike the Hallmark movies that have certain endings, each situation we face is not always the happy ever after storyline that we may envision. But I'll tell you what, church, it's by His grace. You know that grace we just sang about? It's by his grace that he begins to weave all things together and bring his goodness, amen, into our lives and into those desolate places. And that desolate place is where you have to have faith in his faithfulness. Amen. I find myself saying that to myself a lot and speaking it out. Lord, I have faith in your faithfulness. Sometimes we just don't know exactly how situations are going to turn out. But again, the scripture says, for those who love God, he works all things together. He weaves it together. Somehow, some way, he brings his goodness into your life. I'm so thankful for that. You know, he'll give you beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. And the spirit of praise to replace that spirit of heaviness. Amen? Amen. He will give you grace. His grace will find you in that place. It'll seek you out. It'll lift you up. It'll bring you strength. Strength and grace that are equal to circumstances. The Apostle Paul speaks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. And he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Cast down, but we're not destroyed. We're still standing, church. Amen? Yeah. Ha ha. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Apostle Paul spoke to the things that were coming against him. Things, God is for me. You can't be against me. And I'll tell you what. In all these things, we can be more than conquerors. Amen. And as you begin to make those declarations, faith and strength will arise on the inside of you. And it will carry you through. Amen. You too can say, things, God is for me. Things, you cannot stand against me. Amen. Whatever those things are. Because it's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by the arm of the flesh. It's not by your own strength. It's by the Spirit of the living God. Amen? You are stronger than you think. And braver than you feel. I have another little story here about my little great-grandson, Jaden. You all know him. He's 11 years old. You know, he had received a kindness reward at school. Isn't that precious? Bless my heart. And he had to do a speech. And he was afraid because he didn't want to get up and talk in front of everybody. So we prayed, and he went to school, and he gave the speech, and he did a great job. And I said, Jaden, you were very brave. And he said, oh, no, Graham, I wasn't brave. I was afraid. And I said, Jaden, being brave doesn't mean that you're not afraid. It means that you do something when you are afraid. That's being brave. And we prayed and God helped you and you did great. So again, having faith in his faithfulness, that he's got you. And we've got to believe for strength to be brave. Amen. We have to take courage. You take it It's there for you to take. The spirit of courage, the spirit of might working on the inside of you so that you can rise up and you can be above the circumstances and not beneath them. Amen. There's a difference. Maybe the circumstances aren't changed, but you're not under the weight of them. You're above them and you're soaring. Amen. You're locking your wings like the eagles and you're soaring over them. And you're looking from a different vantage point with a different perspective. It's the perspective that God sees. Amen. And his thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live with my low thoughts when I can take hold of his high thoughts. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God will help you. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Thank God. Have faith in his faithfulness. One thing that will help is what Pastor Mark was talking about on Sunday. He was talking about not allowing stinking thinking. Amen? And stinking thinking is thinking that's not aligned with God's word. We've got to cast those thoughts down. Cast imaginations down so they don't become a stronghold. Because you know what a stronghold is? It's a place where the enemy dwells. So you got to take your responsibility and do that. And if you suddenly find yourself walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and we've all had that experience on this earth, because we live in a fallen world, you know, you must remind yourself who you are in Christ Jesus. You are the head and not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. You are blessed coming and you are blessed going. You are blessed and you can be no less. Amen? So, you have to on purpose stop the stinking thinking. Because it's going to sink your ship every time. Amen? And you know, boats in water don't sink because the boat's in the water. They sink when the water gets in the boat. So you got to keep the stinking thinking out of your boat, out of your soul, so that you don't find yourself sinking. So what you're thinking on is attached to your emotions and how you feel. And how you feel will affect how you act and behave. So you better debate in the name of Jesus thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God's word. Or you're going to be in that stinking thinking boat and you're going to be sinking. But I'll tell you what, that's not us, church. We're well trained. And these are things you have to train yourself in. You cannot try them. You have to train yourself. And when you train yourself, Arthur, isn't that right? You've trained yourself in the military and in his position at work. And when you train yourself, there's a response. You don't react to that which is before you. You respond. And your training puts you there. And so it's so important to train yourself in the little things, in the big things. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Do not frustrate the grace of God, which brings you strength through stinking thinking. Amen? Amen. And you know, the word says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Say it with me. You're stronger than you think. You're braver than you feel. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 5 through 7 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure." What treasure? The light of the glorious gospel It's in our earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's right.
That strength comes from the greater one who lives on the inside of you.
Amen.
He's mighty in strength, and he lives in you.
Amen.
Do you know that you can pass through them, through some things without things passing through you?
Amen.
Isn't that right, Mike? Coming out without the smell of smoke, brother. You can overcome life's challenges because of who and what is in you. He is in you, and his word abides in you. Amen?
Amen.
When you feel like you're in a canoe and you're about to go over the rapids, you're going to instinctively look for an oar that's in the boat. And then you're going to try to paddle upstream. But I'm telling you, at that point, your own strength, your own effort, it's not going to be enough. You must look within because you are standing in him and he is standing in you.
Yes.
Covenant. Amen.
Yes.
Covenant. I'm going to say that again. You are standing in him, and he is standing in you, and that's where your strength comes from. That's where you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Even hard things. Say this, I can do hard things. The scripture says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He will strengthen you. He will make your feet like hinds feet so that you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Whatever wall is before you, he will strengthen you to take it. Oh, thank you, Lord, for strengthening us with all might in the inner man by your Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. It says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Have you found that out? For my power is made perfect in what? Weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power can rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then am I, what, church? Strong. The Passion Translation says it this way, but he answered me, my grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I celebrate my weakness, for when I am weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. Have you ever said or thought, I know I have, how am I going to do this? I don't know that I can do this. I can't do this. If we're honest, we will say yes, especially when you're doing things for the Lord. You're going to do things bigger than your own hand. You're going to need his strength. Amen. Hallelujah. But when in my thinking I fall, I turn it around and I say, Lord, I shall arise.
Amen.
And when I walk in darkness, the Lord will be my light.
Amen.
And sometimes we just don't see things this side of heaven the way he sees them.
Amen.
We sit in darkness and we don't understand why God, why? When God, when? And we just have to have faith in his faithfulness and trust him to bring it to pass. Do you believe this? Amen. Philippians 2, verse 13 in the Amplified Classic says, it's not in your own strength, church, for it is God who all the while, all through the trial, all through the test, all through the darkness, he's effectually at work in you. And this is what he's doing in you. He's energizing and creating in you the power and the desire. You know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. We need hope. Hope thou in God. Lord, you're the God of hope. Fill me with hope and believing. And when that desire comes, it's life. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight, until he's delighted. This is a good scripture to pray on a daily basis. Hallelujah. The light of the glorious gospel brings hope and it brings joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. You're stronger than you think. And you're braver than you feel. Because his spirit and his word abides in you and brings you strength. You know, we're not called to do this life alone. God even said it's not good for man to be alone. And sometimes I think people forget that. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it's vital. It's so important. We need one another. We need faith buddies. We need to stand together. We need to pray together until, amen, until we cross over to the other side of the promise. Yeah. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. This is a good pastoral care passage of scripture that Jesus was sharing. And this is in the Gospel of Luke. Now, you know, Luke was a physician. And he was a compassionate physician. I like his gospel. You know, Mark, he was kind of young and he was kind of choleric. And he was just bottom line to the point. But God uses their personalities. And Luke was a compassionate, beloved physician who wanted to heal. Amen. And so we're going to start in verse 6. And it says, then he told this parable. This is in the NIV. A man had a fig tree growing in his own vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming back to look for fruit on this fig tree. And I have not found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? The gardener, who was the intercessor, really replied, sir, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If it doesn't, cut it down. Let's take a closer look at that parable. The owner of the vineyard was the one that said 3 years now. So the tree had to be older than 3 years. He probably was coming before that. He owned the vineyard. Because they usually start bearing fruit in 3 years. And he was expecting for 3 years to find fruit. There was leaves on the tree that indicated that it was a tree that should have had fruit. So when he came, he was gravely disappointed that there was no fruit on it. Amen. And that disappointment led to anger. And then that led to judgment. Cut it down. Hallelujah. But this wonderful gardener who was the intercessor, he stepped in. He stepped in to say, you know what? Give it a year. Give it some time. Let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. Let me care for it. And come back in a year and see. I thought that was so interesting. Because some people just give up so quickly on things. But there's a process to some things. And that tree, you know, you think about trees. This tree was planted in a vineyard. That's where they have grapes. Why was a fig tree in a vineyard? Well, they typically would plant fig trees at the end of the rows. And those fig trees, the roots would go down and they would irrigate the rest of the vines, you see. Plus, it was another source of harvest for them. In addition to that, it created shade. And it broke the wind that was coming through. So there was purpose for that fig tree. And, you know, if by giving it just a little more time and digging around it, what happens is dirt builds up around the roots. And it gets crusted over. It's fallowed ground. It's hardened ground. And it's crusted over. And when that happens, the tree is not able to receive, the roots are not able to receive air, water, nutrients. So digging around them and removing the weeds, you got to pluck those out, of course. They choke the life of God from the plant, the tree. Digging around stimulates the roots. Digging around allows for the water to get into the root system so that it can deliver that nutrient and that water that's needed to the rest of the plant. Nitrogen, potassium, different things that the plant needs in order to grow and to produce fruit. Also, he said, I'll fertilize it. Now, you cannot fertilize yourself. The plant cannot fertilize itself. If you could fertilize yourself, or if the plant could, it would have the nutrients to do so. But it takes somebody coming alongside to pour in the oil and the wine and the nutrients and the water of the word. Amen? Amen. To help you. Yeah. To support you. Yeah. To stand with you. Amen? Amen? Many times people get stuck in life's challenges. And they get stuck there and they get burned out. Or they turn to their own strength to do something. Or maybe they have more to do than they have resources. Then what they do is they look to the world system to help them to manage their emotions in that state. And they get into negative and sometimes destructive cycles. Ways of thinking, ways of behaving, addictions, amen? Unhealthy things, hanging around with people you shouldn't be hanging around with, you know? Doing things you shouldn't be doing. If you are stuck, if you know somebody that's stuck, you need to reach out for help. Reach out and petition for the resources that are needed. Pray for divine connection with people who have skill sets and giftings that can help. Don't try to just sit there in the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. Get up. Reach out. Pass through. Get on the other side. And then make it a spring. A spring isn't for you, it's for others. And when you pass through and you get the victory, you have something of substance. It's the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. And you have that on the inside of you, that spirit of faith. And you can give it to someone else. You can give hope. You can give faith. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Remember, growth takes time. It takes time. It takes good ground. It takes water. And it takes sunlight, S-O-N. Amen? Don't get discouraged when you're walking through places where things take time. Because, you know, moving down to verses 18 and 19, Jesus begins to talk about the parable of the mustard seed. And he likens it to the kingdom of God. And he says, how can I illustrate this? It's a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in the garden, and it grows and it becomes a tree. And the birds make nests in it and branches. The mustard seed is the smallest seed. You know, it's the size of a grain of sand. And it says, but when you sow it into the dirt and water, and you care for it and nourish it, it grows to an average of 10 feet, and sometimes it can reach 15 to 30 feet. And it spreads its seeds. It has pods, and it spreads its seeds. And I believe Jesus used this illustration of the mustard plant because they were all over in that region. And people could see it, and they could relate to it. Amen. And they would rise up like bushes that became trees, and they would just take over the field. And it all started from a little tiny seed, a little tiny mustard seed that's put in the dirt. The dirt covers it over. It doesn't seem possible that anything's going to come out of this little seed that's the grain of a sand. But you know, you've heard me say this before. The size, the color, the flower, the shape, and the fruit are all in that little tiny seed. And that little tiny seed, it's going to germinate where? In darkness. Under the ground. Where you can't see it. But I'll tell you, over the process of time, with care and nourishment, it's going to grow. And it's going to become a tree where birds can rest. Others can take refuge. That's you and me, friends. That's you and me. In the process of time, through the water and the nutrients of the Word and the Spirit and the care from others surrounding us, we will grow and flourish and bear much fruit. Amen. You're stronger than you think and braver than you feel. That little seed is like your faith, and your faith will produce when you sow it. And oftentimes, I mean, sometimes it's glorious when things are instant, isn't it? Instant healing, I've had that. But then I've had a stand through serious things. And you can get weary in well-doing. And those symptoms will speak to you. But if you keep that seed of faith, that seed, the size of a mustard seed that moves mountains, amen? Sown into your heart, and you nourish it and you care for it. I mean, you'll be on a pathway for healing. And then that healing becomes wholeness. You just keep watering it. You just keep letting God do what He can do. I mean, I don't know how the seed grows, do you? It's not my job. My job and your job is to plant the seed, amen? Amen. Plant the seeds of faith in your heart. Water them. Nurture them. Keep the weeds out. They're going to grow, and they'll transform your life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. In closing, it's amazing how so many examples in the Bible where God used the least and likely person. Amen. He did. He worked in them and through them to do mighty things. You think of David, a shepherd boy, you know, who slew lions and bears and giants and became a king. A boy that everybody else passed by. But God didn't pass by. Gideon, who the angel found hiding in a cave, afraid, and God called him a mighty man of valor. He didn't look like one, but God called him one. And then God used him to deliver Israel from the great army of the Midianites with only 300 men. Saul, who encountered on the road to Damascus a bright light and became Paul the Apostle. I mean, this was a man that was persecuting and killing Christians, putting them in prison. But God used him and gave him great revelation, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Moses, who feeling overwhelmed when he led those 2 to 3 million people out of Egypt, and he tried to do it in his own strength and do it alone. And the people, can you imagine? They were complaining, this and that. I mean, that's a lot of people to pastor over. But God gave him wisdom through his father-in-law. And his father-in-law taught him how to raise up leaders, levels of leadership, to spread out the responsibility, to lift up the arms. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God will help you that way. We need one another, church. We do. Last scripture I want to go over is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. It says this: have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Next verse. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he does what, church? He increases your strength. Keep going. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, are you waiting upon the Lord? Are you trusting in him? It says he will renew your strength so that you can mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. That means you're not a quitter. Amen. You're not going to quit. You're going to keep on keeping on. Amen. You're going to walk as he's called you to walk in places that he's called you unto. And oh, Father, we just thank you tonight for this word. We thank you that we are stronger than we think because of you. And we're braver than we feel. And we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.